Welcome to the CIO Today podcast, where we explore the latest trends and insights with the brightest minds in technology and business. I'm your host, Stella, and today we have a very special guest joining us, Ankur Dasgupta, with 24 years of experience across media and marketing, who is here to share his journey and wisdom. Let's dive in and get to know more about his inspiring story.
Hi, Ankur. I hope you're doing well. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Stella. It's a privilege, and I'm looking forward to our discussion.
Ankur is a seasoned marketer and coach with over 25 years of experience across media, including print, global, and event production. He is passionate about social impact and excels in energizing people and leading cross-functional teams. So let's get started with some questions so that we can get to know more about you. Can you share a bit about your journey in the marketing and media industry for over the past 25 years?
Yes, absolutely. I would love to. So it's been a long journey, but I'll try to keep it crisp and short. Because so many wonderful things have happened and amazing challenges, amazing opportunities, meeting amazing people, leaders. Let me see how I can put it in the best possible way. There was a point of time when I was not sure what I wanted to do in life. And I have been in school, in high school, college. I was quite an average student. I wouldn't say I was a topper or, extraordinaire, something like that. The good part I realized right now, or I realized later, probably in my life, that I was always curious. I was always wanting to learn more. But I faced those challenges as to I wasn't too sure as to how to apply those challenges. But I knew one thing, that I wanted to start my career with media, marketing, advertising. So I did the relevant studies and all. When I joined Times of India in the print industry, I wasn't too sure as to if I was enjoying the role or not, because a lot was to do with operations. And I wasn't too sure if I enjoy operations. Later on in my life, I realized that there are certain things that there's a force beyond you, your thinking, which gives you certain opportunities so that you do better later in your life as well. And learning operations, learning backend, learning optimizations, learning to coordinate at all levels gradually helped me become who I am. And I'm still, I would say, learning and applying consistently. In a nutshell, I've worked with print media, I've worked with, India Today, Yahoo, Times of India, DDB Mudra, Shiro's, a bunch of companies. We launched quite a few interesting IPs of events in India, like AdTech New Delhi, AdTech Mumbai, then iMedia Summits in India. And we launched TechCrunch as well in India. It was launched in around 2013. We did our debut event. It was a lot of learning across media, marketing, advertising, programmatic, cross-functional roles. And in the past, I believe 12 to 13 years, I've primarily been in a lot of cross-functional roles. Because as I evolved in my journey, my managers, my bosses also feel that I am good with people, I'm good with processes, I'm good with execution, execution of processes as well. And so gradually these things enabled me to have a very exciting journey in media, marketing, and advertising.
Right, that was really wonderful to hear. So I wanted to ask, how has your experience working in diverse cultures and setups shaped your approach to leadership and team management till now?
That's a wonderful question. I share this example with a lot of people, and it's a very simple example from our daily lives. When we board aircraft, we are told that before putting an oxygen mask on someone else, put the oxygen mask on yourself, right? So I have always wondered that how is it to work with different people and different cultures? And thankfully, I've had those opportunities to work in India and across other countries as well. like Australia, USA, and what cultures are very different. People, I would say, usually people are the same. Human nature are the same. People need somebody who they can trust to talk to have a conversation with. Somebody who they can genuinely have a conversation. Somebody who's authentic. Everybody likes authenticity. Everybody likes people who they connect with. But there's a paradox. The paradox is, try as you may, you can't connect with everybody. Everybody is operating at a different frequency and vibration.
Right.
So when I, thankfully, I've had those trainings and working with companies like GE and other, you know, companies which have got international offices, before moving to any country for a stint, and I've been on long stint assignments, like 5 months, you know, 2 months, mm-hmm. 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Those also enable a lot of challenges in the way of understanding people, whose pulse is like what, how do you talk to a particular person? How do you get that thing done? How do you learn from that person? Every country has different culture and a set of beliefs. But I believe when you're trained, and thankfully, as I say, when you get certain trainings of their cultures, it helps a lot. And I'm grateful for that. My experience has been, if I got to sum this up, that everybody needs to regulate their emotions and what is called as emotionally intelligent leaders. And I was not aware of this term much early in my career. But gradually, when I did my PCC study, professional certification in coaching from ICF, I gradually learned and deep dived and learned a lot around emotional intelligence. How important is listening to somebody? Things like, I mean, just as an example, rather than just talking first. And how to take feedback, how to give feedback, how to learn, how to set up processes, how to work with people, how to work with difficult people. And there are easy people and difficult people, considering the frequency and vibration you're operating at everywhere. You won't find, like, you know, absolutely 10 on 10 people as per your frequency and vibration everywhere. But that's the beauty of it, right? That makes you more agile to connecting with people, and you know the pulse better. So yes, it has been amazing. Yeah.
Perfect. That's a very distinct perspective. This actually brings me to my next question. What role does Kaizen play in your professional life, and how do you integrate this philosophy into your own work?
Again, I've been very, you know, I'm very thankful that early in my life, during my first job with GE, actually, that's not my first job. My first job was as a music teacher. I play the tabla, although my practice has gone down.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Considerably. Mm-hmm. My first job was as a tabla teacher in my own school, in my alma mater, where I studied. And the principal, ma'am, was kind enough to offer me a job at that time. I don't know if whether to call it a salary, but I used to get, I think, 1,200 or 1,300 rupees per month. That mm-hmm. was the starting point of my career journey as a music teacher till GE happened. And when GE happened, I realized that Kaizen was one of the words which we got introduced to very early, and everybody in our batch. But maybe we did not get to the root of the essence of it. But gradually, when you work in a place for like around more than 3 years or so, there's a lot of rub off effect and a lot of application that happens. For example, when I did my Six Sigma green belt, there's a lot of application of Kaizen into that as well. Kaizen has more to do with an approach, an attitude, a thinking. It's a combination of a lot of things. It's a mindset. It's a habit-forming thing. No, it's not just one word. Continuous improvement needs continuous practice and continuous mindset to do that. Because if I got to sum everything up, you know, if anybody asks me, what's your top keyword in life? Yeah. One of the top keywords. My top keyword is consistent. Quick example, if you're going to the gym, if you go there for 3 days and you don't go there for next 1 month, it does not matter, right? Similarly, if you're trying to write something or try to become something, it's all habit formation. If you don't have that habit, like any bad habit for that matter, if you form a bad habit, that bad habit forms in you. And bad habits easily form, but good habits take time. But you have to be conscious of it. So similarly, continuous improvement only makes one a better version of themselves. Only thing is that how I evolved is, earlier I was not able to see the better version of myself. When I say earlier, you know, during early days of my
career,
I used to always feel that I'm the best. I have, you know, like Aamir Khan says in Dil Chahta Hai Ki, perfection ko improve karna, you know, possible nahi. You can't improve perfection. So likewise, I used to think like that, and I had a different attitude towards life. But gradually I realized that everything has a scope of improvement. So that's more of a spirit, and it has played a big, big role in my life and still playing. Because anything I do, I always think that how can I make a micro improvement in it? And gradually, small steps. And if I have something big, I will. But even if I have don't have something big improvement to make, but I always know that there is something better that can be done. And I always try to, what is that tweak? What is, I mean, it could be as simple as delivering a keynote or delivering a speech or public speaking or making a presentation or giving feedback or doing an appraisal for somebody. It could be anything, right? How can we get better at that? Doing an interview with somebody, you know, when you hire somebody, onboard somebody. Getting better use, you know, in product marketing, when you use a product, how to do beta, how to, you know, launch that product. There is always a better way or a, you know, different way to do it, if not better. So yes, I hope I answered your question in some ways.
Absolutely, yeah. And that was indeed inspiring. So what future endeavors or projects are you the most excited about? And how do you plan to make a lasting impact in the media and marketing industry through them?
I'll see your second question in a nutshell first. I don't know about lasting impact, but my endeavor is to keep creating impact for myself, at least. When I say myself, improving myself, and if I like the oxygen mask example I gave, if I improve myself, I know for sure, I don't need to do too much efforts. If I am very clear in my mind as to what I need to be doing, it could be a social, and I'm now working towards social impact, positive social impact in a variety of ways. But that has to be going through a process. So when that happens in any endeavor, I always feel that I should be making myself more capable, more resilient, more stronger, more positive, so that I can contribute to people's lives. And it is not only about media and marketing. Media and marketing just is a part of my domain. But when I think of impact, I always think of a larger impact, which can impact the society at large. Gradually. Now, coming to your first part of the question, future endeavors or projects, I realized that, and it's a good thing, I feel excited about it, that I've constantly, almost every year or every 2 years, I've learned something or the other new. And I've been always upgrading myself. But then when I was like, you know, in the midst of thinking what to do, should we do another executive education or, you know, should we do another thing? And then I was like, came across this International Coaching Federation, and I've resonated deeply with it because it's the gold standard of coaching. It's a very intensive, very difficult course to crack. It leads a lot of study in a variety of fields because it enhances your self-awareness as a person so that you can coach others. And coaching and mentoring are entirely different things. I would, you know, rather make it very clear for people listening to this. So when I did that very recently, I complete my certification. So future endeavors is, obviously, I'm always wearing the hat of a marketer. That's going nowhere. And, you know, advertising and marketing is something I love to do. It's more of a But along with that, upgrading is very important. But when I work with different people, work with different leaders, work with different, you know, maybe interns, maybe different teams, or maybe people in their mid-level career journey, this journey of my professional certification coaching will really help me, as is already helping me, in being more effective in very nuanced things in life. For example, be it a simple thing like listening, which is actually very complex for many people. So yeah, so this thing in my journey is a new thing as a, you know, coach, which is my specialization is in executive leadership communication.
Perfect. So your vision, like to me, your vision sounds extremely promising. We wish you good luck with that. Wrapping up with the last question for the day, what advice would you give to young professionals looking to make a significant impact in the media and marketing industry or just in life in general?
Great question, Stella. Look, I don't believe in giving, you know, advices per se. I always love to help people explore their own true self, their self-awareness levels. But yes, I'll share my learnings. Look, something which has worked for me may not work for somebody else. Honestly. But my learning is, the most difficult part of this journey is, as you said, not only media and marketing, is having a conversation with somebody. And the most difficult part in that is active listening. In our terminology, it's called whole body listening. When you observe how a person is, you know, reacting or, you know, talking or speaking, the details of it. Listening is very important. We rush to speak. We don't rush to listen. And staying authentic to ourselves. And there have been moments, I'll say from my life, early in my career, I'm not too sure if I was authentic to myself or true to myself. There have been moments. But then I gradually realized that when we touch the true nature of ourselves, our actual intrinsic values, quote unquote, values and beliefs, like you are what you believe in, is what I actually believe, that this is so true. Once you start believing something, then go ahead and reflect on how do you want to accomplish it. And although I'm sounding very simple, it is probably one of the most complex things I have observed for people, because people would not want to spend time, usually what I've observed, sitting for even 5 minutes or 2 minutes, breathing and reflecting on what they are doing in life, what they want to do in life. And I would leave the audience with one question. I always ask this question and I get different answers or I get no answer. The answer is very simple. What's your aspiration? And if people listening to this can just ponder and think, don't rush to answer it, but think, what's your aspiration like? What's that one aspiration? I think they have a good start to it, you know, thinking who they can become a better version of themselves. So that's all I have to say.
Perfect. That was amazing. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was really a wonderful experience talking with you today, Ankur.
Thank you so much for your time, Stella. Really appreciate it. And I hope this conversation can drive some value for the audience.
Definitely. So that was brilliant. I hope you have a great day ahead. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
It was a pleasure having Ankur on the CIO Today podcast. To our listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode and found it as inspiring as I did. Until next time, keep innovating and pushing the boundaries of what's possible. I'm Stella signing off. Take care and have a great day.